Hello and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. It's been a bit of a break, but we observe the holy holiday that is March Madness in this house, but we're glad to be back. This is a commentary episode on Season 10, Episode 6, Maya Con Dios of NYPD Blue. So if you haven't watched that episode before, if you don't have the ability to watch it, I don't know if you should listen to this episode. It's mostly us talking about it as it's playing and also dealing with Kyle's dog Echo, also dealing with sound issues. And there were people working on Kyle's roof. Look, times are dire. NYPD Blue is not available to stream anywhere. We got to watch it on the DVDs and then meet when we can to talk about it. So, I don't know what to tell you. At least it's not happening during the better seasons. And that kind of gives you an indication of what we thought of this episode. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hopefully I'll talk to you a little bit at the end because it assumes you made it through. Hey, it's a commentary episode of Season 10, Episode 6, Maya Con Dios, currently in the previously on NYPD Blue. Kyle, the other voice on this podcast. What is the previously on this episode? What happened? Are you seriously not going to say anything?
No, Connie's sister's dead.
Connie's sister is dead.
She's dead as a doornail.
And she had a baby before dying, and we got to figure out where that baby
was. It as she lay dying, she had a baby?
I think so.
Okay.
This is a commentary episode. It's loose, guys, because this season is not great, and the episodes are not available to stream anywhere, and we got to watch it on DVDs in the same room.
And he stinks to shit, so.
I stink to shit?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You smell, dude. That's why we don't do this in the same room normally.
We record in the same room.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Jesus. So the episode's called Maya Con Dios.
Are those, like, you're just able to wear any kind of jeans you want?
Well, she's a plainclothes officer.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not her uniform.
That's like a thick belt, dude.
Can we talk about her fashion some more? I don't think we want to talk about anything else, just Maya's fashion.
I didn't mean to be commentating on the episode. I didn't know that's what we were doing. I apologize.
Do you hear knocking?
Yes, I told you. They're replacing the roof.
Oh, that's the knocking.
Yeah, there's going to be a little knocking on heaven's door today.
So Maya is Jones's fun bang.
That's a harsh way to put it.
Well, it's true. They literally, the last time they were together, it was literally like, "Do you take me seriously?" And he's like, "I thought we were just having fun." So the answer is no.
Maybe not as a person, but in a relationship, he takes her seriously.
Maya's partner is dead in the street, and so Woods is like, "Cover him up because he's a cop." If he wasn't a cop, who gives a shit? Leave him out in the open.
Yeah, if he wasn't a cop, I wouldn't care if his family saw it.
If he wasn't a cop, I don't care if we treat him like meat on the sidewalk. They get a call of a witness in a, "So could you stop squeaking it right next to me?" You're just squeaking a llama next to my face.
Echo
the dog. I felt like this guy really ate up his part, which is...
No, all these little, like, janitor landlord supers are always great. Because it's like, they're exactly what I think of and how my super was.
It was just like, "Oh, blood? I'm getting out of here."
Hell yeah, they don't want more work. We don't know that.
They're not scared of their safety. They're just like, "I don't want to do any more today."
Is this dude dead?
Yeah, I think we're supposed to get that by
How
Rita.
Could you tell?
By Rita going for the pulse and then going no by shaking her head.
Oh.
Sorry, I was distracted by your dog growling a little bit. So right now we're at the credits. This is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. And this is season 10, episode 6, Maya Con Dios. Fantastic pun. But is it a fantastic episode? We'll decide.
What does Vaya Con Dios mean?
Isn't it go with God? Or live with God?
Which one of those words is God? Dios?
Yes. I believe Vaya Con Dios is go with God, or it must be. I know that from the classic film Point Break, starring Keanu Reeves and...
Oh, I knew it from the opening of Street Fighter.
Someone says Vaya Con Dios in Street Fighter?
No, it says for Raul Julia.
Vaya Con Dios, that's right. That's right. So... there is this moment where John, the PAA, reveals that he knew the dead cop, and he's like, I got flowers for him and his family. And Sipowicz brings out money, and he's like, I already took care of it. And so he's like, we'll all chip in. And it was like, okay. She gets upset because it's the same flower place that did her sister's funeral.
Get over it, dude. Her sister's been dead for years. Like, get over it.
She died last week.
But, like, emotionally and, like, connectively to her, she's been dead for years.
Also, it is just funny that, you know who didn't show up to her funeral? Her husband.
He's in jail.
Yeah, I know.
That wasn't a good joke, though. Like, we have a reason for why they didn't show up.
Now they're doing this thing. Every time a cop dies, they do like, I saw him yesterday. Showed me his kids. Yeah. That's terrible.
He wore that badge just a little 2 centimeters shorter than everyone else.
I went to the bathroom after he took a shit. It was real smelly. The other case that Rita and...
But boy, could that dude eat some meat.
Connie, they have a kidnapped child. And something that I find very interesting is right when Connie is about to adopt a child, her sister's daughter, suddenly we have an adopted child who's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
To bring up all the emotions of herself giving up her child.
It's been about a week. So it wasn't like it was like right after it.
It was literally
there
right
was some
after.
Time.
Literally right after. Also important to note, because the child is adopted, they immediately say, look into the birth mother, because the birth mother tried to contact them and the child.
Oh, tried to contact them, yeah.
She wanted to see her child, and the mom, I thought they did a good job being like scared ass parents. But they only have this scene.
I like the mom a lot. I feel like the dad was just there, but I feel like a lot of it goes off of how the mom acts everything.
Mm-hmm. I do think that, yeah, it does seem like the guy playing the adoptive father was like, look, we're here for like a day, maybe a couple hours. Like, relax. Relax. You're acting too hard. You're not getting an Emmy for this performance.
Yeah, but maybe she'll just be seen.
So
she'll be seen, Kirk.
I think the big question of this episode is about what's happening right now. John is going to talk to a child, a child of about 10 or 11. First things first, do you recognize that child?
He's not the amazing Judd Jackson, right?
No, he is not the amazing Judd Jackson. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Yeah, you're right. No, but he's been in a bunch of stuff. I know that for sure.
His name is Christian Copeland.
Uh-huh.
Or Copeland, if I spelled it right. His biggest credit is probably Lizzie McGuire.
That's right.
He was also in Miracle in Lane 2 with Frankie Muniz.
He's a Frankie Muniz kid. Got it.
You know those Frankie Muniz kids. But essentially, Mark Paul just goes like, hey, so you saw what happened, right? Because the kid is 10 and he can't just say, get out of here, cop. I'm not talking to you.
But how did he see everything?
He says he was walking in when it happened and then one of the guys threatened him. He says that now. He's like, I can't say anything. And the guy threatened me. And literally John is like, what if you were dying? What if you were shot in the street? Would you want someone to say that?
Someone's got to ask the tough questions.
To a child?
What, he's going to get asked someday or later?
To a child with his parents not there?
Foreshadowing. We meet his dad. His dad's not that cool.
His dad's not that cool? I called it. I knew it. We got ourselves a bit of a tie up here.
Lay down.
But right here, Sipowicz is like, okay, we'll just cover it up.
Which is weird because he's very protective about kids.
He's protective about kids until it could aid his case. Then he's like, well.
Aren't we all though?
Well, what's super interesting is basically Mark Paul is like, well, we got to talk to the dad, right? And he goes, no. Unless he asks for his dad again, then we'll ask. But until then, we're just going to get this kid.
Which is so weird because like Sipowicz is normally so protective of kids.
I thought I recognized her.
Same. I thought I've seen her and stuff.
And then I went to the IMDb and I couldn't. The woman who plays the birth mother. She has got toed. I will say that. She has got toed on toed.
I mean, it's all in the eyebrows. Look at that.
She's got the toed brows. She also wanted to speak to her child because she's been like 6 months clean from meth. And I don't want to be that guy, but I feel like meth, you got to get more months. You got to get a lot more months.
Yeah, but you have to understand if like you go from not being able to see your kid and then you've been clean and you don't get drugs anymore, you're going to like, then let me see my kid then. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like, great.
No.
It's like, yeah, you want me to be off drugs. I am off drugs, so let me see my kid. I'd like to see if I can. I'd like to see my kid. This is different. She gave it up for adoption. It's different.
So you're saying if it was a social services situation.
Yeah, if it was a social services situation, she got clean. Let her see her kid.
An SSS.
Yeah.
Social services situation. But yeah, dude, just the way she says the birth father's name, it's like, God damn. Just throwing toed on top of toed with extra toed.
My favorite actor of the whole thing, this guy.
That guy who
that
just
the best. Just
who just shakes his head?
Immediately.
So this guy begins.
He has to be 45, right?
He says he's 39.
Right. How old is she?
Well, they talk about it, so he definitely banged her when she was 17. And he's like, look, she went to live with me because her parents and her don't get along. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and he had sex with a minor.
Yeah, you know, shit happens.
But this begins a series, and not to...
Hopefully he didn't forget his hard hat.
Jesus Christ. This begins a series of episodes that I like to call, How Serious Do We Take Pedophilia?
Not that serious.
Because this dude, he's like, look, it happens. You know, sometimes you got a young woman, she doesn't act like a girl, and, you know, you get her pregnant. It just happens.
She's so mature.
And that's followed up every time by, you don't have to tell my wife. Every single time. You don't have to tell my wife. My wife don't need to know. And it's unbelievable.
Who does he give up? He doesn't give up his wife.
No, he just says that she, I believe he said that she went, I don't want to use this slur, she went dyke, I believe is the phrase he uses, that she now has...
Like the clippers?
Not the tools,
like
no.
Like a pair of dykes?
The pejorative term for lesbian. He says that she started to go lesbian and has a
girlfriend. Her hair was way too long for her to be a dyke.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. What are we doing?
That's the issue? That's the issue you have?
I said it with like an advisory, and you just said it as a part of a crass joke.
Yeah, because I thought we diffused I thought we were letting people know that the word dyke on the TV, on our show isn't like a big deal.
So
we're talking about the Clippers.
He mentions that she now has a girlfriend. The birth mother has a girlfriend, and her mother would know more about the specifics. And she's like, "Okay, we'll contact her." And he says, "Well, that'll get back to my wife." And they literally say, "Your wife is your problem." Yeah. Now Sipowicz and John are getting in trouble because a random cop walked into the bathroom and was like, "There's a fucking kid in here." And the kid said, "Yeah, John brought me in." So he called the sergeant. And Sipowicz is upset that the boss is like, "Do it by the book."
I mean, Sipowicz has always been arguing about the book.
Well, Sipowicz's point, which I think what the show is trying to do is make us kind of agree with him, is we don't need him to testify or his parents' permission for long. We just need him to push us in the right direction.
It's like we don't have to get anything from him that we need to use later. It's more of like nothing that we can use in court later. It's just more stuff that like can help us solve the case or get more information.
And the boss is like, "Well, we have to do it by the book because a child's involved. I think it'd be different if it was an adult. And the lines are a little more blurred. This is a child that you took out of their home without parents' permission." And right now, John's got a phone call that his dad is drunk.
His dad doesn't even like...
His dad's a quote-unquote choir boy.
Bitch boy.
Dutch boy, right?
Bitch boy.
I mean, either or. This guy, I don't want to be a dick. I feel like if this guy was causing trouble at a bar, somebody could handle him outside. He's not that threatening.
I think it was more out of a respect thing. It was more of like, I like him. I know him. I don't want to embarrass him. That guy behind the bar, I think, alone could easily take him outside.
Yeah. I also think, like, even the people he was arguing with, I'm sure if there were two of them, they'd be like, "How about you leave?" And they could have picked his ass up and taken him out. But now he's saying, "I just drank a little bit and I got upset with people making a bunch of noise." And John Jr. is like, "This isn't like you." And he's like, "You know, shit happens. Sometimes you drink a little too much in the afternoon."
Sometimes it happens. It's called midday happy hour.
It's called midday drinking. Also, this is Joe Spano. He was in some Botchko earlier shows. And...
Sorry, when you said Botchko, I thought you said Bosch.
No, like, not Bosch. He's too. Not in Bosch. I don't think he is. But... Joe Spano does do a good job as that character, but I think this storyline is kind of not the best, what's happening with him. So this dude is a New York caricature whose entire job in this episode is to come in and say, "Yeah, your cops aren't telling you the real story." And then he just leaves. Because Maya, we didn't talk about it. Maya says that they just walked up on two dudes and they started shooting at him. This guy says that they were tossing them, and then the guy started shooting at him.
Yeah, they had them like lined up. Yeah,
which is a pretty big inconsistency. But it is fun because Jones is like challenging this dude's recollection, and he's just like, look, I just came by to tell you what happened, man. And then he says something that seems to happen a lot on this show, and it makes me sad, where they go, unless you want it to go some other way.
But yeah, but that's because we know how the police work. Has that not been happening for years?
Fair. And again, not to spoil, we're going to get into some more of it later. Well, I thought you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
No, commentating.
I see that you're getting yourself a Jolly Rancher.
It won't make any noise.
It won't make any noise. So you aren't going to click it on your teeth like you did last time?
I didn't click it on my teeth like last time.
You click. Okay. So here's when Jones says, hey, you want to commit some fraud? I need to go change your statement because we have a witness that says otherwise. And she tries to stick to her guns until Jones is like, yeah, the witness is solid and there could be more.
And she looks really scared.
She also says that she thought she tossed her guy, which also gets her to start crying, saying it's all her fault. But I would like to point out that she was having just a chum time with all of her cop friends before Jones came up to talk to her, which in my mind means that she was just going to sit on the fact that this is partially her fault.
100%. That's why she's crying so much right now.
She was going to just pretend like it isn't exactly what happened. Her
100%. It's a little bit of guilt.
This scene, I hate. And I don't know if you remember this scene. But the kid says, I just want to help because I remember all of those cops that died on 9/11.
This is the episode.
And I just wish that I was able to help.
They gave it some time. They didn't really talk about it a lot. But then this is the episode where they kind of sprinkle it in a little bit more every now and then.
And it's when that line happened and I heard it, I was like, remember when we just were so supportive of our institutions because of something tragic that happened? Remember?
Yeah, we thought Giuliani was a genius.
We thought that's how he got his name. So yeah, here's that not cool dad, as you put him, who comes in and says, he's not testifying. Nope, we're walking out. But he does say something that I find very interesting where he says, look, I understand that you lost a cop, which is why I'm going to look past that you took my son out of my house without notifying me. I'm like, it seems like you're still allowed to be upset about that. Like, I don't have any kids, but I'm pretty sure I'd be pretty pissed.
No, I think he's being really chill.
That's pretty, yeah. This is way over the line. The fact that Sipowicz just yells at his boss. Basically saying, like, we have a dead cop not missing drugs. And then he says, cool down or don't come back here after they yell at each other. And I was like,
I mean, the lieutenant's right.
Yeah, the lieutenant's 100% right. Just fucking work the case. Jesus Christ. But I also love this because he literally did this already. He tells Connie, oh, if I die in the street, will you take care of Theo? And I was like, she said she would, like last season. I don't know why you're
also some foreshadowing. We're getting the other kid.
Is it foreshadowing?
A little bit.
Oh, I think there was already a mention that the adoption paperwork was going through. Teresa. She
or Teresa.
Well, they call her TT.
Who's la Wisa?
Spot on impression. Amazing. So she...
This is where it gets bad. Like, this back and forth, like, seven seasons ago wouldn't be this shitty. With her just being like, this girl, like, is just literally saying, like, questions. And she's not even, like... What are you talking about? Where is she? You can't do that. Huh? That's all she's doing.
It's also unfortunate because one of the articles that I read in What Would Sipowicz Do? Collection of articles about NYPD Blue. There was an article about how the show is... it tries to paint itself as progressive in terms of portraying gay characters, but it falls short several times with non-traditional people because a lot of times people that are trans, people that are gay, and people that have different sexual kinks are shown as criminals. And this is a great example where it's like, yep, her lesbian girlfriend stole a baby. And you're like, what? You mean to tell me that she has this relationship with a woman and the woman's like, yeah, let's steal that baby.
Well, yeah.
Like, what? Like,
that's a step, yeah.
It's like, and also it implies that the birth mother is off of drugs and then her girlfriend was like, yeah, you should be able to see your baby. Let's steal them. It's like, what?
This is an awkward conversation.
Yeah, Haywood. Haywood and Baldwin. Together again. And Baldwin is saying, hey, we need to fraudulently change our shit.
We need to cover it up.
Which has happened before.
Yes.
It doesn't, like, that's another...
She's done it for them many a times.
It also seems like one way the show is getting a little worse is,
but it's
like,
when she was getting that Baldwin D, dude.
Oh, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
I'll compromise my ethics for that dick.
She called it compromising her F dicks, if you know what I'm saying. She's in an ethical dilemma. Or an ethical dick dilemma. I don't know.
Second one's better. Second or third one's better.
Oh, jeez. And she says, you don't owe me anything.
Yeah, and she gave him, like, rail me eyes.
Famous face, Cat Williams.
The best part of the whole scene, of the whole episode.
Oh, yeah, because he kills it.
Mm-hmm.
He's so good. This is all a bullshit story, too.
Mm-hmm. He probably improvised it.
You don't think they wrote this for him?
100% no way.
You don't think the NYPD...
They probably had like a scenario, and he read it, but then he went in there, and he like improvised a lot and added a little bit more.
You think, I wouldn't be surprised, but I also think NYPD Blue had enough prestige to it that I don't think he was going to go in and fuck around.
Yeah, 100%, but I also think he may have like... made it more him.
But it is very interesting to see a younger Cat Williams, and he's doing a great job as this character. And it almost was like, God, I wish they got him when the show was a little bit better.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, he would have been so good.
Yeah.
Like, if they had him as a repeat character, like Shorty Boom and Mos Def. Yeah. And
I forgot about Shorty Boom.
And I forgot Arthur Caldwell?
Who's Arthur Caldwell?
He shows up for like two or three episodes. They found him in a closet, and he said, I came over to borrow a book.
That's right.
So you're not clicking it, but you're definitely sucking on it. And we could hear the, it sounds like you're filleting something. So the dad brings this kid back and he's like, did you guilt him with 9/11? And Sipwood's like, we don't do that here. And it's like, what? We would never do that. And it's like, okay. It just seems so weird because this is a year out.
A year out from 9/11? Yeah.
Yeah, this came out.
But it takes a while to get over trauma like that.
This came out October 29th of 2002.
Yeah, but like I said, it's probably affected.
Oh, it was crazy down there for a while.
Yeah, a lot of people.
So, this is what I love. So the boss was like, buy the book. They bring this kid in for a super unofficial lineup, which I think is illegal.
I'm a lawyer.
And after the kid says, that's the guy that threatened to kill me, they're like, you can get out of here. And then the boss says this, which I find very funny after a day of like, buy the book, get that dad's parents down here, get that kid's parents down here. And then he goes, we got a cop killer.
So intense. Dude, that's what got him. Like, I don't know if you know, but like this scene got him the last two Mission Impossible movies.
And after he says, so he's a cop killer. And
it's
then
Tom Cruise's favorite scene of NYPD Blue.
And then he goes, do what you got to do. And it's like, so it's by the book.
So break the law.
So it's by the book until we know that he's killed a cop. Then it's do whatever the fuck you want. And what Sipowicz does is very old school Sipowicz, which is threaten to hurt his actual injury on his hand. What I also like about Cat Williams' character, he has zero remorse. After he admits that he lied, he tries to lie again and then has zero remorse for shooting at the cop and what happened. I was with my girlfriend this morning.
He's not squeezing it in a good way. Like he needs to be squeezing where the fingers.
Well, that's what he's getting closer to it.
You're right. He was kind of doing that baseball bat thing.
Yeah, he's doing the baseball
he's just
bat.
Climbing up on the stub.
Yeah, he's climbing up the stub. And Sipowicz is about to like crush his nub. And then after he starts admitting that he was there, then they're like, so that doesn't even make sense. Admit that you shot a cop now. And it's like, wow, okay. So I think only you.
Did he just say chick cop?
Yeah, he did say chick cop.
Okay. It's weird. I don't feel like you hear the word chick come from black guys.
I think.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying.
That's like, you know, I feel like if you ever heard a white guy say woman, you'd be like, whoa, dude. Like,
hey, like, bro. Hey, buddy.
But
hey.
Like other, I feel like coming from other cultures, it's our other men or other stuff. Like it may not be, but it's like maybe from like, I don't know. Like the South, I feel like if they say woman, it's not looked on as in a certain way. But like, you also wouldn't hear it coming from a white guy.
I also find it so weird that in this scene, I suddenly picture him as Dan Soder. Ain't nothing gonna mess with my shit, Big Pimpin'. Like,
get away from me, white devil.
Ain't no snow bunnies in my... Dan Soder's impression of Cat Williams, everybody. Very funny.
His impression of Macho Man is great, too.
This is...
interesting.
Bad.
Yeah, the acting is fucking garbage. It's garbage. It's bad.
Fucking garbage, he says.
She was the daughter in George Lopez, the George Lopez TV show.
Which one?
Not the one who was kidnapping the kid, but the woman who had the kid but couldn't see her anymore because she was a meth head.
So this scene is also really stupid because it's essentially the boss going like, are we cool? Instead of going, hey, you're not allowed to be that outright insubordinate towards me.
100%.
Instead of saying that, he's like, are we cool? And Sid Woods is like, the case is all I ever cared about. And he's like, yeah, that's all I care about too. He's like, then why are we even talking about it? And it's like, well, dude, you did kind of say something fucked up to me.
Sipowicz says what the boss should say. The boss should say all of that. He's like, all I ever cared was clearing the case and doing it the right way, blah, blah, blah. He should have that conversation and then tell Sipowicz, like, why are we still talking about this? We have to do the things the right way. Instead, Sipowicz comes off as the boss.
Sipowicz does come off as the boss, which is kind of ridiculous. Also, this scene is very much like, hey, we're best friends because we're the only two female characters. Yeah, here's some baby shit.
100%. The first 8 years of the show, we diligently kept the women away from each other. We always had one with Greg. We had maybe not the first 8 years, maybe like the first 5 or 6. And then we had Russell was like randomly working with all the different men at different times. Like,
and then she worked with Kirkendall a handful of times.
For that 1 year or that 2 years before Kirkendall's husband came back.
And now we got ladies working with each other all the time. And they're best friends. So, this is what I like to call the exit of a character nobody liked. Because Baldwin was like, I was trying to get a hold of you. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go to my parents for a while, and I don't think I'm coming back.
Is that not fucked up? She basically was
Did
like...
Did you just ask, is that not fucked up, and then farted?
You farted into your own microphone and then put it in your mouth, bitch. Is it not fucked up that, like, she basically says, yeah, I was about to leave and not talk to you.
Yeah. She's not a good character. She's like, not a good person.
If you wouldn't have shown up right now, I probably never would have seen you again.
I mean, we could do this right now as just a overall on her character, because I don't think she comes back. She sucks.
Yeah, but Kirk, you got to see her ass, though.
She sucked when she showed up, and she sucked the entire time when she was here. And then
I love the way she asked for a cab.
What do you mean?
Like, she's like, can you put everything in the cab for me? She's just kind of like whiny. It's like, you weren't going to talk to this dude. You were going to ghost him forever, and now you need him to put a bag in the cab for you? Your other arm ain't shot, bitch. Like, put it in there. She's so cold, dude.
Your other arm ain't shot, bitch.
She's so cold, dude.
That's unbelievable, but very funny. She was shot today. Her partner died.
Man, how much does she really like him, though?
So this scene has some classic dad conversationalism where... Metzron losing, unfortunately.
No need to talk about what's happening.
Nope.
Did something weird happen today? I don't even know. That's the way he's acting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. please, ref.
No one calls an umpire a ref.
Oh, nobody in baseball?
Calls a baseball umpire a ref.
But what
nobody
if...
calls a baseball umpire a ref. If they do, you can just throw them over the side.
The side of what?
Life. Life's a boat. Throw them over the side.
But
if I went to a baseball game and someone was like, ref, what's going on? I'd be like, shut the fuck up. They're umpires. That's they've been umpires since like 1890.
So, but Kyle, what if you are so desperately trying to not talk about something that's going on? You would say anything.
No, that it just shows that the show's losing its fastball because someone should have been like, oh, no.
The show is losing its fastball.
It's the small details like that. They didn't have those things missing. Someone would have stopped and been like, no, we call them umpires. If you're that into the Mets, you would know that they're called umps. If you're that into baseball and you care that much about the Mets, you'd know that they would be called umps, dude.
Okay. I will say this. This is just classic. John Jr. is like, something's going on and you just don't want to talk about it. And his dad's like, look, you found out I was whoring. Okay, I had a perfect work record and you found out I'm a human being. Can I just drink because of that? You're an adult now. And then he's like, dad, that doesn't make any sense. And then he's like, we're not talking about it ever. And it's like, okay. Also, I want to highlight something about this episode that I find kind of egregious in terms of Sipowicz.
How wide Sipowicz keeps his legs when he sits in that chair?
Well, that makes sense to me.
Is that something we're going to talk about? That ridiculousness?
Well, it's because he's got a huge ass hog.
No, he doesn't. His dick looks like a mushroom. He's built like a hedgehog, dude.
What I don't understand about this episode and the next episode, if I can give a little tease, Sipowicz is suddenly Mr. Everything's okay. Hey, it's chill. You're just getting a baby. Chill out.
Yes.
This is the same guy where, like, if you change his fucking toilet paper in the men's room, he'll have a goddamn conniption.
Well,
but for Connie, who's like, I'm getting a baby today, he's like, hey, keep it cool. It'll be okay. It's just a baby child.
It's just a baby child.
I don't know. It's just a baby.
Aren't babies children?
Yeah.
So why would you call it a baby child?
Some people call them baby childs. I don't know.
Who do you know is calling a baby child, Kirk?
This is what I wanted you to focus on. I made a comment about this episode and the next episode, and I want to talk about how you don't like how I said baby child. Now I'm going to say it all the time. But yeah, it only took a character to show up for 2.5 episodes we don't care about and her death to get Connie a kid so Sipowicz and her could start a new family.
To get the baby that we accidentally wrote off a year ago. by saying that she could never have kids.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's a mistake they wish they could bring back.
It was a classic. Whoopsie.
Because how can we solidify that they're fucking?
Basically, a producer went into the writer's room and was like, you got to get a baby in her hands. I don't know how you're going to do it. But we need a baby in Connie's hands. Oh, ASAP. Connie,
but sir, Connie can't have a baby. Remember, we have the whole backstory of her having her first birth and there being a huge complication.
You're writers. Get to it.
Pause it.
Anything you want to say about...
You got to rewind it.
Maya Condios.
It's a stupid name.
I kind of like the name. I just don't
Maya
like...
Maya with God?
Yeah, I guess that is what it means.
Well, it's stupid.
That's it? That's all you want to say?
Stupid. I don't think we spend that much time on Maya, to be honest with you.
Not really.
So
we spend more time with Christian Copeland, the kid who saw the what happened.
It should have said, the title should have been like, see ya to Maya. She's leaving.
Wow. So I guess the big question is, if you had a son who was about 10 years old and found out the cops just took him down and didn't notify you, would you come in and be like, hey, I know a cop died today?
No, but I'm white, so it's okay. The police like me.
Well, that's the end of that.
I don't know a lot of like black parents that would just be okay if they came home and their kid was just at a police station and they didn't know.
That would, yeah, that's what. And the fact that he,
so white parents, I think, would act a little differently and kind of be like, "Well, what's happening with Johnny?" And they head down there where it's as other parents from other races might, you know, have a little bit more worried behind it. So I don't have to worry about it as much.
Well, and also just the fact that he's like, look, I understand that you took my son out of the house without telling me. How? How do you understand
that? Yeah, well,
that
yeah, that's wild. That's like, wild. That's some, like, subliminal messaging. Like, guys, it's okay if cops just take your kids.
It's like, I don't know.
And, yeah, I mean, that's where we're at today.
Well.
Just snatching kids.
All right. Next episode. I got a pee too.
Go first.
You sure?
No.
Hello, and thank you for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you want to watch NYPD Blue, I think you got to get the DVDs. Because really, other than that, it's less than legal means or watching the show on live channels on Amazon and I believe Roku channel. They seem to have a 24-hour streaming channel of NYPD Blue, but no way to pick the episodes you want to watch. It's a bummer, and we're hoping it gets fixed as soon as possible. Anyway, if you just need more NYPD Blue in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. What Would Sibwitz Do? A collection of articles about the show. I mentioned it in this episode. There's an unofficial NYPD Blue guide by Gene Kendall that is on Amazon for 99 cents. And there are two books by Max Allen Collins that take place within the universe of NYPD Blue. If you find them for a decent amount of money, they're not bad, but they're really expensive now. Blue Bloods and Blue Beginnings. Thank you for listening. Sorry it was taking so long to get an episode out, but we're back and we should be on every other Tuesday. Whether you like the show or didn't like the show and you just want to leave a review, please review our podcast wherever it is you're listening to it. It's how people see it in the algorithm. And more importantly, more people might end up watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Now, we're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, mostly just mentioning when new episodes are out. We don't have a X, formerly Twitter. We don't really have a Threads. And we don't really interact with you guys as often as a podcast should. But we're just two dudes making it work the best we can with the equipment we have and the time that we have to spare, because we like talking about NYPD Blue. We like talking to each other, and we find it mildly entertaining. So I hope that's good enough. And if you really feel the need to complain more, I'm going to take a page out of Kyle's book and say it's free, and it's been free for a long time, and we've never begged for money. But I hope you're having a good one. I hope you be good to yourself and to each other. And peace.